about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged, Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then, looking briefly in the New Testament, the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verses 14 through 16, 14 through 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and blessed privilege of knowing you. Thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for our sins, and you made a way for us to spend all eternity with you. Thank you for calling us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace that would encourage us to be faithful and to be diligent about doing the work you've called us to, making disciples, period. But especially, Lord, help us to be wise and faithful to be doing the work of discipling our children. Help us to do all you would have us to do to help them come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and help us to do that which your Spirit is guiding and teaching us, to help them to grow up and grow strong in their walk with you, that they too would become vibrant kingdom warriors in their own right. Young boys and girls that will grow to become men and women that will live all their lives for your glory. Teach us, empower us, and guide us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Our dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can come before you, that you listen to us, you care about us. Father, we bring our listening family to you today. I think of those who are incarcerated, who listen to the radio. God, would you be near them today? Would you protect them? You be their shield and be their guide. Give them strength and courage today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, the Word of God tells us in the book of Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." And in that same psalm, Psalm 119, verse 105, it tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, we've been sharing over a period of several weeks about a new part of our project that we call the Ten Commandments Project, in which we're encouraging young people to write speeches about one of the Ten Commandments. But this project has actually been going on for a few years, and we're encouraged to know that some have taken it and used it as the powerful and very effective discipleship tool that it is. So we're honored and blessed to have as phone guests today Pastor Ruthie Hooper and some youth from her church, Community Chapel, in Shelby, Mississippi. She and her husband, Pastor Community Chapel in Shelby, Mississippi. And they're a church that took the project and ran with it and has done a lot with the project. And a number of their young people in their community have been touched and affected in a wonderful way. So we're honored to have Pastor Ruthie and a couple guests with her, young people that are going to share about how the Ten Commandments Project has blessed and encouraged them in their walk with the Lord. Pastor Ruthie, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Pastor. Thank you.
Well, great to have you on once again. And it's been a little while, but we've had you on before. You're actually, along with being a co-pastor with your husband there, you're an author, I believe, an evangelist. I don't really know all the hats that you wear. I know you're busy in the work of the kingdom of God. So we're grateful to have you to come on today. And if you would take a moment to further introduce yourself, but then we want to get right into talking about how the Community Chapel Church family has really done a lot with the Ten Commandments Project.
Yes, sure. As you stated, I'm co-pastor Ruthie Hooper from Community Chapel Assemblies of God Church here in Shelby, Mississippi, and we've been here 31 years. I'm the author of the book, The More Than I Saw Heaven, A Glimpse into God's Glory, and also a children's book, Little Ruth Goes to Heaven. And I'm working on my third book, which is a devotional book, and the title of it is God's Word for You Today. But yes, okay. Pastor Parker, ever since you came to our church and introduced the program here in our church, it has been such a great lesson. And so what the Lord laid on my heart to do is to call other pastors talk to them about getting the program started in their church. Mm-hmm. And they're excited about it, and they're in the process of getting it done. But when I talked to them, it was before the pandemic, so mm-hmm. we can understand what that did to it. So, but Pastor, I'm telling you that Ten Commandments has been so awesome for our youth and our children here. And they had some powerful testimony as we were teaching them the Ten Commandments, and one little boy shared with me that he had been going to Dollar General store and stealing, but when we started teaching those Ten Commandments, he said that he wasn't going to do that anymore.
Oh, so, praise God. That's great to hear.
Yes. It's so many testimonies that's been coming out, and there was another little girl that was under the teaching and on the band when she got home. On the van, her friend began to, lie. Mm-hmm. And then, so she told the bus driver, we need to start some Ten Commandments on this van. Because the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not lie. Mm-hmm. So it has really impacted our young children's lives. It really has.
Well, praise God. I appreciate you sharing that. And just to our listeners, just so that our listeners know that, one side of the program is where we invite and encourage churches to take over a period of several weeks of time to teach and train the children about the meaning of each of the Ten Commandments in a practical way. And again, there are times where sometimes the program has been done in churches, sometimes in Boys and Girls Clubs, but a setting where the children can both have the opportunity to memorize the Ten Commandments and recite them before their peers, that's a part of it where, in other words, once they learn the Ten in short form and to recite them, they get a free T-shirt with the Ten Commandments on the back. But another very important part of it is teaching them the meaning of each commandment and how that's lived out practically. And, Pastor Ruthie, before you come back to share further, one of the reasons why I think it's so important for us as adult believers to recognize that this is not just a nice Sunday school project, but a very serious one. I think of a sad story I've shared before of a young man that in a large city, he went into a store, took something and took off. The attendant stepped out and shot the young man and he died. And he was only 17 years old. Now, of course, the fact is the man who shot him did get arrested. But the fact is, if that man, if his parents or a Sunday school teacher or a pastor had taught him the Ten Commandments, the seed of that word probably would have caused him to be alive today, because he probably would have decided, it's wrong to steal. I'm not going to take this. But it's important for us to understand these are truths. The Ten Commandments are truths God has given us to bless us, to help us to live the abundant life, and to live the best life we possibly can. They're not against us in any way. They're for us, and they bless us. So, but yes, go right ahead and share further whatever's on your heart then.
Yes, Pastor. And like I was saying, we are in the process of taking them back over it again.
Mm-hmm.
It has helped them so tremendously. But we have Ahmad here, and he has a powerful testimony, and I'm going to let him share what he shared with me, how the Ten Commandments helped him.
Okay.
Hey there, everyone. My name is Ahmad Anderson, and I just like to say Ten Commandments has helped me a lot during my lifetime, you know what I'm saying, especially in school, you know, where, like, in school, I'm in high school, so, of course, sin is just raging everywhere. Mm-hmm. So that helps me realize and understand that I need the Ten Commandments in my life to stand out, you know, because if other people see me stand out, then maybe they will want to get a gist of it as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I most definitely have used the Ten Commandments in my life because, like, in high school, like, you know, people, they steal pencils or whatever that's not theirs, and I just be like, because I used to be like that too, and I still kind of am in a way, but pencils, erasers, all that, and you got to realize that's still stealing no matter what, you mm-hmm. know, so you just got to just put it back, or, you know what I'm saying, give it back to the person who you took it from, you
mm-hmm.
know, you know, and so, of course, like, people think that that's a quick little field is nothing, but a lie is a lie, you know. God said all liars will have to fall in the lake of fire. So no matter what the lie is, it's still a lie, you know. So
mm-hmm.
you just got to, you know what I'm saying, not do it. You feel me? And one thing that really helps me, this Ten Commandments really helped me with, is with girls and committing adultery. You know, I'm in high school and, you know, I'm at that age where I'm curious, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I start looking at girls with lust. And, you know, the Bible says that even if you look at a girl with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. So mm-hmm. you just got to, like, resist the urge and just wait till the right one comes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I, for sure, the Ten Commandments has helped me with. And the fear that God has placed in me has helped me to just leave it alone, let it be, and just go the way that God wants me to.
Hmm. That's good. That's good, Ahmad. Thank you for sharing. Wow. Now, how old did you say you are, Ahmad? You're 15. Okay. What grade are you in? You're going to what grade?
I'm going to 10th grade.
Going to the 10th grade. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, again, we're really appreciative of you coming on and sharing your heart and how you feel like this project has helped you. So do you feel like the Ten Commandments will continue to be a help and encouragement to you in your walk with the Lord?
Oh, yes, sir. Of course. No doubt. I may forget them every now and then, but a quick Google search is nothing, you know, so I try to memorize them, have them at the back of my head just playing and, you know, apply it to my life almost every day.
Right.
And make sure, you know. So, yeah, of course, it will forever be in my life. And I don't ever want to lose that wisdom, you know.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ahmad. Father, we thank you for Ahmad. Thank you for his brother that we'll be sharing as well. Father, anoint them with wisdom and grace. Help them to grow up to become godly men that will live for you all their lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests today are Pastor Ruthie Hooper and Ahmad and Quazeric Anderson. We'll be right back.
Through the night, I put
Music of Planet Shakers with the song Only Way, reminding us that the only way to heaven, the only way to receive eternal life is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, Planet Shakers, Only Way. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests today are Pastor Ruthie Hooper and two young men that have been a part of the ministry of that church as well, Ahmad and Quazeric Anderson. And before I ask Pastor Ruthie to pray for us, I'm going to take a moment to pray through the Ten Commandments. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer listening. Thank you for your church. Thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as individual believers. Help us as the church and help us as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. And Pastor Ruthie, before we get to the next testimony, I'm going to ask if you'll, Pastor Ruthie, if you'll pray specifically for believers to have ears to hear and receive everything the Lord wants to say to them through our broadcast today.
Sure. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up every person that's listening, and Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give them an ear. You said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. So I pray, Lord, that you would give our listeners today an ear to hear how the Ten Commandments can be a blessing in their lives, yes, and that they would live by these commandments, oh Father. Thank you, O Lord, for your anointing upon them, their ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And who is our next guest that's going to share?
Our next guest is another one of our youth, and his name is Quazeric Anderson, and he's going to share his testimony.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Quazeric Anderson. The Ten Commandments have helped me out in a lot of ways, but I'll just start off with saying it helped me to honor my mother and my father. Mm-hmm. For example, me and my brother, we got a lot of chores to do around the house, and sometimes our parents want us to take turns. And the Bible says that you should honor your mother and father. So regardless as to if it's your turn or not, when they tell you to do it, you should do it immediately, because they're the ones that brought you into this world. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I have to that I like about the Ten Commandments and that it has helped me with is to not commit lying or bearing false witness, because if my brother said, like, even if it's a little fib or just a little bit exaggerating towards a lie, mm-hmm, like the Bible still says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. So regardless, you shouldn't do it. And the last thing that the Ten Commandments have helped me with is to not covet, because, well, I'm in seventh grade right now and going to eighth grade this year. So, well, it's like for example, let's say there's my friend that has like a lot of things. He owns a lot of things, mm-hmm, and like the Bible says to not want what someone else has. Mm-hmm. And I've been having a lot of trouble with that lately, and it has really just helped me not to want what someone else has, because mm-hmm, if you want what someone else has, it'll lead you to killing them, mm-hmm, and stealing from them and lying to them just to get it. So those are just a few ways that the Ten Commandments have helped me a lot.
Mm, okay. Quazeric, I appreciate you sharing that. You've actually said a lot, maybe more than you realized, in it, because, you know, when a person violates, when they go against one, any one of the commandments, in a sense, you violate all of them. And it's a reminder of the fact that we very much need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to help us to follow the Lord faithfully. And you're exactly right. Both you and your brother have mentioned high school can be a tough time, but by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit can help you get through anything, including high school as well. So thank you again, Quazeric, for sharing from your heart. And, Pastor Ruthie, I'm going to ask specifically, if you'll pray for listeners to really see the need for both individual parents and for churches to really take on this project. And of course, you know, one of the ways an individual parent can do that is, of course, they can take the time to teach their own children the meaning of the Ten Commandments in their home. But also having each one of their children to memorize the Ten Commandments. And let me say to every listener once again, if you can have your child learn and memorize them and recite them to you, all you have to do is give us a call and we'll send you a free Ten Commandments t-shirt to give to your young person. But I would encourage you to take the time to go through all Ten Commandments to teach them the meaning behind every one, because this is very, very serious Bible insight that our children need it. And you know, Pastor Ruth, the reality is adults need it desperately as well. So would you pray for listeners to really see how the Lord would want them to take this kind of discipleship project to him, to minister possibly both to their own children and maybe to other children in the community as well?
Sure. And Pastor, right before I pray, you brought out such a good point. Actually, Pastor, even though I'm a co-pastor evangelist, but the Ten Commandments has helped me ever since I got saved in 1979, and I still use them in pastoring the church and overseeing people. The Ten Commandments always come back to me. So it like you say, it does help the adults. It really helps me. It really does.
It really does.
We're going to pray right now.
Okay.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this Ten Commandment program, oh Father. Let it be extended all over the world. And Father, I pray for the parents. I pray for adults to receive and to abide by these Ten Commandments. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus, for Lord Jesus, you said, oh Lord God, that you gave us the greatest commandments, to love the Lord our God for our heart, mind, body, and soul, and our neighbors ourselves. And Lord, you said that on these two commandments hangs all the law, the fulfillment of the law, Father. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray for the children, the adults, oh Lord, that there will be a revival in their heart,
yes,
to abide by these Ten Commandments. Lord, let this program be extended, yes, all over the world, in the school, Lord, even in our school, on our jobs,
yes,
in our cities,
yes,
our city officials, even in the White House, oh Father,
yes,
God.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ruthie. We're going to take time now to listen to a couple speeches by a couple young persons. A young lady named Autumn, she's 7 years old. And then we're going to hear a speech from a young lady named London. She's 10 years old, but both of them shared speeches. So we're going to listen to their speeches now.
The commandment that means the most to me is honor your mother and father. It is important to honor your parents because it is pleasing to God. We have to listen to and obey them. We cannot be ugly or rude to them, because that will not make God happy. We want to make sure that everything we do is pleasing to God. We have to do what we are told, even when we don't want to. This is important because we want to make it to heaven. I will always do my best to honor my mama and my dad. I will even listen to other grown-ups as well.
In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, there we find the Ten Commandments. In verse 1 through 3, we are told, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." The very first commandment is in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Very simply, the first commandment tells us to put God first before everything else. In life, people have many different priorities. For some people, certain things are important to them. For others, other matters are important or more important. The Word of God lets us know, the Ten Commandments, that God is to be first in our lives. God is to be number one above everything else. Well, someone may want to ask a very real and thoughtful question. Why is it important that we put God first in our lives? I'm glad you asked. Allow me to share some wisdom of the matter. First, we should put God first before all else because he said so. He is God and we are supposed to obey his word. If God tells us to do something, we need to know that it is good for us. Every command in the word of God, when we hear and obey it, we will be blessed as we do it, as we do what it says. Also, when we put God first, life will begin to work better and better for us. When God is in first place in our lives, the rest of life can come together like it should. When God is not first place, nothing else will be right in the right place either. How do we as believers put God first in our lives? Let's look at a few other ways we can. First, a person needs to give his or her life to Christ. We must first get saved without having Christ in our lives, in your heart. And being saved, a person does not have the ability to put Christ first in his or her life. After a person gets saved, a believer should put God first by taking the time to pray every day and do it early in the day. If we decide to make time to pray, we put God first by seeking his help, his wisdom, and his power that can help us with challenges of life. And we can avoid making excuses such as, I am such a busy person, I don't have time to pray. Another way to put God first is to read God's word every day. To truly put God first in our lives, we need to listen to his wisdom every day. We can read God's word instead of spending most of our time reading other things or watching TV or spending much of our time on the internet. Also, we put God first when we obey the word of God. As we read the word of God and obey it, we put God first by choosing to do things his way rather than our own ways or the world's way. So disobedience is one way that we fail to put God first. Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 tells us, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of prophets. If we want to put God first, we will obey his word and be kind and thoughtful in our words, actions, and attitude towards others in a way that we would want someone to be to us. So obedience to the word of God is clearly one more way to put God first. Pray the Ten Commandments. Lord, thank you for this day. Help me this day to put you first in every way and in all that I do. Help me, Lord, to not make or have any graven images. Help me, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help me, Father, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Lord, help me this day to honor my father and mother. Lord, help me this day to not murder. Help me to not commit adultery. Help me to not steal. Help me, Lord, to tell the truth. Help me, Lord, to not covet. Help. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Two beautiful speeches by two precious young ladies. Again, Autumn was 7 and London is 10 years old. So, Pastor Ruthie and Ahmad and Kwazirik, I'd like to ask if y'all would just share your thoughts about those two speeches. Any thoughts that come to mind you'd like to share? If we'll start with Pastor Ruthie.
Yes, Pastor, that was, as I could say, extraordinary, amazing. Those two speeches and how they just brought it out. I mean, it's just powerful. Just powerful testimony, both of them.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Ahmad or Kwazirik, any thoughts that come to your mind?
Yeah, I just want to say those were very great speeches, and I feel that London is just 10 years old. I felt like she was reading this speech made by a 30-year-old, which is very great. I feel that she has a lot of wisdom at a young age, and I wish I had that much wisdom as they did when I was their age. So I just want to say they had very great speeches. And
thank you.
I really love them.
All right, we're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guests today are Pastor Ruthie Hooper and Ahmad and Kwazirik. We'll be right back. From the Walls Group, all praise goes to you. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today, we're honored to have with us Pastor Ruthie Hooper of Community Chapel and two young people from the church as well, Ahmad and Kwazirik Anderson. And Ahmad, did you finish sharing what your thoughts on the speech you heard? Did you have anything further you wanted to share?
No, sir. I definitely like their speeches, and I wish that they were written like on paper so that I could read them every day of my life.
Hmm. Well, you know, Ahmad, I appreciate you mentioning that. I'm going to make it a point to get you a copy because, again, you know, we really have been blessed and encouraged about the response of young people to get involved with the project. And, you know, there are monetary prizes behind the speeches as well for the first through fifth places. However, it's not about the money, and it's really not about the contest. These young people are blessing and encouraging other young people. So I definitely will plan to get a copy of her speech to you. And if anybody else listening wants to get a copy, we're going to make it a point to try to get copies of the speeches that young people want to hear, because that's one of the goals, that young people will minister to other young people, and young people will minister to adults as well. And to be honest with you, Ahmad, lots of adults would probably be blessed and encouraged by listening to that speech as well. Now, I want to mention this to all of our listeners, too. If you have a young person that wants to get involved with a speech contest, they're welcome to do it. And I want to say this very clearly. We have some young people that wrote their own speech. Some got help. Some may have had someone else to actually do the speech for them, which is okay. But now, one of the reasons why that's productive as well is because when the young person is practicing their speech, that wisdom and that grace on that speech is working on them as well. So it still ends up being something that's good for every participant. So if any young person listening would like to get involved, but they may say, well, I need help with my speech, we're glad to help. You're welcome to ask your dad or mom to help. If you want to ask your pastor to help, you're welcome to get all the help that you might need, but we're glad to get you involved, so hope that you will. So, all righty. Pastor Ruth, was there anything else you wanted to share about anything you heard from either one of those speeches?
They just so tremendous. It just bless my heart. I'm amazed at the age and what they said.
Well, praise God, praise God. Well, we're going to listen to one more speech by a young man that was actually in studio with us last week, and he came in, actually came in, and his family actually managed to come in, and he shared his speech, a young man named Landry. So we're going to listen to Landry's speech as well.
Exodus 20, verse 4 states, "Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above, or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth." We as humans have a built-in desire to worship something or someone. Your identity will then be tied to whatever you worship as number one in your life. Humans will worship. It's one of the characteristics God gave us when He created us. Whether it's Baal, Muhammad, or that sports team, that game, or that hobby. Another popular god people worship is themselves. They do whatever it is that pleases them the most, no matter what it does to other people. That is humanism in its simplest form. Now when chapter 20, verse 4 says idol, it is not strictly talking about an obscene statue with large lips. It is simply talking about a trade. The trade is the omnipotent, merciful, and loving God who loves you enough to send His one and only Son to the cross so that you could have an eternal relationship with you. You take that and practically throw it in the garbage for something as little as a sport, a game, or a hobby. So in other words, the sports team, the hobby, or the game is what is control of you, is what is in control of you. So when your team loses, it takes your world with it. Then you're left with a bunch of brokenness and shattered pieces. But that's where grace comes in. For in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I'll most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me.'" 2 Corinthians 12:19. It doesn't matter how far gone you think you are not too far gone for Christ. That is a temptation that Satan loves to use on people. If you have fallen into this trap Satan has set, now is the time to rise up. God's love is chain-breaking if you'll put your trust in Him. You trade away God for something else every time you idolize something over God. You claim that thing that you have idolized over the Creator of the universe who loves you and wants a relationship with you. It doesn't make sense why anyone would want that. You substitute an idol in place of where God should be. In other words, another name for an idol is a God substitute. Let me warn you, that is not a fair trade. In fact, it is not even close to fair. Sadly, Satan tries his best to deceive people into thinking it is a fair trade, and many people do fall into that trap. Satan isn't smart. He has just been around people for a while. An idol can be made out of anything, even serving the Lord, to the point where you're no longer sharing God's word to win a brother, but to evangelize more people than someone else. Satan will do anything and everything in his power to make you believe that idols have exceptions. I'll give you a handful right now. Staying up late playing a video game could be an idol, because then you aren't getting enough sleep, and when you wake up, you're tired and spend your quiet time asleep. Here's another one. How about, "I'll wait till I'm adult to read the Bible"? Why would anyone want to wait until they are an adult to talk to the Creator of the universe who loves you enough to send His own Son to die for you? It is very likely then that God is not number one in your life. If God was truly number one in your life, the issue would not be trying to talk to Him. The issue would be trying to stop talking to Him. A very common excuse is, "I don't have time to read the Bible." That doesn't hold water. You have time for what you want to have time for. If that means going to bed early so you aren't tired, then go to bed early. Let's keep it real here. Idols are not that hard to come by in America these days. We as Americans take lots of things as idols and have branched away from the path that leads to the narrow gate, but rather we are heading on the path that leads to the wide gate, which leads to destruction. America is not a godly place just because we have "In God We Trust" on all our coins. There are a lot of broken people in America in need of a Savior and in need of someone to tell them about that Savior. And a lot of times we as Christians get mad at God because He hasn't sent anyone to go and tell this broken world about Him. Well, I want you to know that He has. He created me and you. If it's not us, then who will it be? God is looking for someone to bless, someone to extend His lavish blessings upon, someone that will accomplish His will. The question is not, will His will be accomplished? The question is, will you be a part of it? God is not dependent on you to help Him be God. He is independent. He has no need of anything outside of Himself. Look at Exodus 3:14 as an example. But God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" We as humans are not independent beings. Unlike God, we have a need for food, water, sleep, and oxygen. We need God, but God does not need us. I hope and pray that I have clearly conveyed what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to speak about.
Amen. Amen. A powerful speech from a young man by the name of Landry. And Quiseric Landry is the same age as you. He's 13 as well, that just did that. And I sort of jokingly said to Landry after he shared his speech, did you pay 50 or 60 bucks to have a speech writer write that speech for you? And he kind of chuckled. He wrote it himself. And one of the inspiring things I would say, Pastor Ruthie and Ahmad and Quiseric, and to all of our listeners, is many times when a young person is challenged to take the Word of God and to put down their thoughts as the Holy Spirit guides them, those young folks would surprise you what they can do in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. So, but thoughts, Pastor Ruth, if they come to your mind?
Yes.
Okay.
Ahmad and Kareva were talking to me.
Okay.
Pastor Ahmad wanted to come in before we went on a break, so I'm going to let him share what he was about to share.
Okay.
I wanted more than just London's speech. I wanted Autumn's too, but I also want to say I definitely would want Landry's speech too, because I feel like that is one of the main things in my life that I struggle with, you know, because there's been many times where I wake up and I want to get to soccer or football, but I realize God just woke me up. The least I could do is spend 10 to 20 minutes with him and singing hymns or reading the Bible. So that's one of the main things that I for one struggle with and need to get on board. So I'm thankful that he brought that up, you know, because that shows that I'm not the only one who's struggling with something like that, struggling with, you know what I'm saying, putting God first in everything that you do. So, yeah, of course, I would definitely like that speech as well.
Amen. Okay. Well, we'll see about arranging that then. So, okay. But any other thoughts, Pastor Ruth, that you wanted to share as well?
Yes, Pastor. I was just sitting here thinking that there was a lady, and she got pregnant, and but the Ten Commandments helped her save her baby, and now that baby is in her 30s.
Praise God! Praise
all God. Because of those Ten Commandments.
Amen.
And Pastor, I would just like to challenge pastors that are of different churches to instill this Ten Commandment program into their church, their youth, however they want to do it, because it has been such a tremendous blessing here at Community Chapel. And I'm praying, I was just thinking about the Andersons that are here. They're in school, and some schools, they won't let us go in and teach it, but they would let the youth share. So they have a great opportunity to share these Ten Commandments. But I just like to challenge, and I'm going to be praying for all the schools to be able to implement this program, because it is so powerful, Pastor. It is so powerful because we're living in a time now where there's a lot of death, murdering.
That's right.
You know, and that's one of the Ten Commandments, I shall not murder.
And
we just obey that commandment. A lot of people won't have broken hearts, funerals.
That is so true. That is so true. Our time is just about gone. But before we end our program, as we normally do, there's someone listening that may have never made the all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart as Lord and Savior. And something we want to make very clear, and London touched on it in her speech, in order to put God first or to keep any of the commandments, we first need to know Jesus. We need to have Jesus in our hearts for us to live the wisdom of God's Word. So if you're listening and you've never made Christ Lord and Savior of your life, we invite you to pray this prayer with us and commit or recommit your heart to the Lord if you would. Let us pray if you'd like to make that step now. Pray with this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. If you just prayed and committed your heart to the Lord, we'd like to hear from you and be in touch with you. Again, jparker@afa.net. We hope to hear from you. Pastor Ruthie and Ahmad and Kwazirik, thank you all so much for being with us on the broadcast today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
An honor to have you on, and I'm hoping that I'll hear back from Ahmad and Kwazirik when they have their speeches ready to get involved in that part too. Hopefully in the near future we'll hear back from them.
Thank you, Mr.
All right, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for the Lord to bless and really spread the use of this discipleship tool amongst many churches all over our community, our nation, our world. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.